Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I have a feeling we still have some people downstairs. I'm sure they'll be up eventually. But what we're going to do today, we're going to have church. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to worship God for a while. And after that, we're going to get into the Word. Can't think of a better way to spend the day. Praise the Lord. And after we get into the Word and study the Word for a while, we do have a baptism this morning. Chris is with us, and she's going to be baptized. So we're very excited about that. And after that, we're going to have a dinner downstairs. So praise the Lord. I guess we have a lot going on today. All right, but before we do anything, I need to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast drawn us here to be with thee today. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be here, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us, that thy Holy Ghost would be here. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst inhabit the praises of thy people as we worship thee here today. We ask that thou wouldst anoint this entire service. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to sing some songs, and we're going to start with number 3, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love, I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing.
Those who know it best seem home.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful story it is. Never get tired of hearing that story. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to go to number 56 and sing The Comforter Has Come. And we know that Jesus told us in John chapter 14, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And that Comforter is here today. That Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to sing number 182 when the roll is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, looking forward to that. And with that in mind, why don't we sing number 195, We Shall See the King. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom, we shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour, we shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. We're going to see the King.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, this next song I want to try. We haven't sang this in years and years and years. But I'd like to try it. It may not go perfectly, but we will give it a shot. Number 58, The Breaking of the Day.
Almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the the breaking of the day. There must be those in the field of sin, far from the fold astray, who once were happy in Jesus' love, and looking for the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, quickly out in the streets and lanes and in the broad highway, call the maimed, the halt, and blind to be ready for the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day.
And that's a good thing. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, it's hard to believe how fast time is going here, so I guess we better take up the collection. Rob, if you could do that for us. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us wisdom on how these funds should be used. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to sing one more, and I'm even more nervous about this one than the last one. Number 222, in the city where the Lamb is the light.
I am going where the Lamb is the light.
God, we know that the sun that shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I'm a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. Jesus, and I am looking forward to that so much. Praise God. Well, it's time to get started in the Word, and that was a good song to sing going into today's message. I'm calling the message today, The Everlasting Day, and that is a wonderful day that's coming probably a lot sooner than we think. We're going to be spending some time in both the book of Isaiah and the book of Revelation. We're going to be going back and forth between the two, but we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 57. But before I get started in that, I want to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to open thy holy word. We ask, O God, that thou'st anoint this service, that thou'st anoint the ears of the hearer, and we ask that thou'st anoint my mouth. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us, that thou wouldst give us understanding of thy scriptures, O Lord. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would fill us and dwell inside us and give us a great and unspeakable joy as we study thy holy word. O Lord, we ask that thy presence would be here, and we trust that it will be, for thou hast promised it would be. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
So we're going to be starting in Isaiah 57, and you know, I really was only after one verse specifically in this chapter, but I'm going to do the whole thing because I just don't know where else to start. So Isaiah 57, and what this is going to start out talking about is the idolatry that Israel had become a part of, shamefully so. They were supposed to be God's set-apart people, but they had a lot of problems. There was a lot of sin, and there was a lot of garbage in Israel. They did a lot of horrible things. There was a lot of idolatry there. And that's how this chapter starts out. And the verse I'm after is a little bit later on, and I'll let you know when we get there. But in Isaiah 57, verse 1, it tells us, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." Now that verse already there is interesting. You know, sometimes when we lose a loved one, we're greatly saddened by that. It's hard to bear that separation from that person. But, you know, sometimes when the righteous is taken away, they're being spared from the evil to come. And, you know, I can't help but think of my dad and wonder what he would think of all of the nonsense going on right now. I can kind of imagine, but he's been spared a lot. And, you know, the Lord took him home because it was time for him to go home. And it's hard to accept sometimes, but it's for the best. Even if we can't see that, it really is, because God always knows what's best, and I'm sure we all have loved ones we've thought of. And you know, this world is going to get worse and worse. The scriptures tell us that, and those who have gone on ahead of us, they've been spared a lot. So, well, that's what the verse 1 is telling us. Verse 2 says, "He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore." What is he talking about here? What is God saying through Isaiah the prophet? I mean, that sounds like pretty harsh language. Why would God call the children of Israel the seed of the adulterer and the whore? What is he referring to there? And what he's referring to is the way they went after other gods, their idolatry, the way they looked around at the people living around them, and they took their traditions and their customs and their idolatry. And God is telling them that makes you no better than a whore, a spiritual one. And verse 4 tells us, "Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood?" You know, this was supposed to be God's special people, but they forsook him, and it was a vicious cycle. They would do evil, and then God would punish them, and they would repent, and then when things got better, they would do evil again, so God would punish them again. It was a vicious cycle, and if you read the Old Testament, especially 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you see that cycle, back and forth, and you know, most of the kings of Israel and Judah were evil. There were a few good ones, but most of them did which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and that was an ongoing problem. "Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rock." And of course, green trees, particularly evergreen trees, have always been used in religious ceremonies, particularly in pagan customs, and the children of Israel were involved in that. And of course, slaying the rock in the valleys, slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rock, what's that referring to is child sacrifice. And we see a lot of that going on today too, especially in the United States where abortion has now become so prevalent. But God is angry about these things, and he's telling the children of Israel that. You know, if God was angry back here, we can only expect that he must be angry with the people of the United States for all of the evil they are doing. You know, this country is no better. Verse 6, "Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these?" Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. You know, that's one of the things they like to do. They would offer sacrifices up on the high places, and they weren't offering sacrifices to God. They were offering sacrifices to false gods. They strayed so much, it's kind of remarkable that God had so much patience with the children of Israel, because it just, like I said, it was a vicious cycle. They would do evil, the Lord would judge them, they would repent, the Lord would forgive them, and then they would do evil again. Verse 8, behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Again, he's referring to the way they went after other gods, other religion, from the people around them, how they just kind of assimilated all of that into their beliefs. And, you know, they would try to also worship the one true God alongside all those other gods, but God would not accept that. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't be worshiping false gods and then try to worship God at the same time. Of course, these days we see a lot of them trying to bring all of the religions together. I know the Pope is working hard on that, and Rick Warren and so forth. They want to unite Catholicism with evangelical Christianity and even assimilate Islam into that. Sometimes they call it Chrislam. Of course, we know that's perversion. But, you know, they try to bring in and incorporate all these beliefs and say, that's all right, let's just all be together, but that doesn't work. And, you know, spiritually, if you try to do that, then you're spiritually a whore. That's what God is saying in this chapter. I know it sounds harsh, but God used that language, so. Verse 9, and thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. You know, when they went after those other gods, they were debasing themselves even unto hell. And people are doing the same thing today. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand. Therefore, thou wast not grieved. You know, they do that and they're not even grieved about it. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? You know, God is a long-suffering God. He held back a lot of destruction for these people for a long time, but, you know, eventually he just had to pour out his wrath because they were so evil. And this country is in the same situation today. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. We need to put our trust in the Lord if you want to inherit that holy mountain. And you might be wondering, what does it mean by that holy mountain? I'm going to tell you something. That holy mountain is not here on this earth today. That's not what it's talking about. No, it's a holy mountain in heaven. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And that's the verse I was after, because it tells us that there is a high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, our God. You know, he doesn't live here on earth. His presence is felt everywhere. But his realm is far above us in eternity. And eternity is different from what we have down here, because in eternity, there is no time. You see, time is something that God created for our benefit, for us, the human people. He gave us time, and we're accustomed to having seconds and minutes and hours and days and months and years. But there's none of that in eternity. And God dwells in eternity, which means he sees the past, the present, and the future all at once. He can do that because he's God, and he is not bound or restricted by time. And this, I wanted to go to this verse to just establish where God lives, where he is the inhabitant, and it tells us that he inhabits eternity. And you know what? One fine day, we too can inhabit eternity, where there will no longer be time. That's why I'm calling this message today the Everlasting Day. Because our God is the Eternal One. He is not bound or restricted by time, and someday neither will we be. And that's going to be our main topic of discussion this morning. But I want to finish out this chapter. And God is telling us through the prophet Isaiah, well, here he was speaking to the children of Israel specifically, but it applies to us also. If we are contrite and humble, if we repent of our sins, then we can have salvation in the Lord. And we must do that. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, if you want to dwell in eternity with the Lord, you must be humble and you must be contrite. It's the only way you're ever going to get there. There's no room for the proud in heaven. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the soul which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. And of course, we know that the word froward means willfully obstinate, you know, willfully contrary. That's what the word froward means. And we'll continue on here in this chapter. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. If we repent of our sins, if we are humble before God, if we are contrite, then he will do that for us. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off. And to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And that's so very true. You know, the wicked, they will never truly know peace, because peace comes from the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know peace. That's how that works. But what we learn from this chapter, among many other things, is that God dwells in eternity. That's where he is right now. He's not bound or restricted by time. That's something he created for us. But there's a day coming when there won't be any more time. There will, however, be an everlasting day. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be going back and forth between Isaiah and Revelation. And what I want to do now is go to Revelation chapter 10. This is a very short chapter. And there's something there that I need to bring out, so we're going to do that. Revelation chapter 10. It tells us in verse 1, And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. You know, this must have been quite a sight, what John was seeing. John, he was the writer of the book of Revelation. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and when he got there, the Lord gave him a vision, and he wrote it down for us because it's very, very important. Verse 6, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. You know, there is a moment coming when time is going to expire. There will be no more time. Time should be no longer. That's what it's telling us right here. That moment is coming. And you know, for some people, it's going to be a very, very wonderful moment. And for some people, it's going to be the most horrifying thing they've ever experienced. But it doesn't have to be that way for us. It can be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And you know, the word of God can be like that sometimes. It can be bittersweet, because it convicts us of our sin, and we feel pretty bad about that, but it can also be sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. So we see from this chapter in Revelation chapter 10, that there is a moment coming when time shall be no more. And that's hard for us to comprehend as human beings, because we tie everything to time. It's our reference point. You know, we wake up in the morning, we look at the clock first thing to see what time it is. Now maybe we look at the calendar to see what day it is if we can't remember. It's hard, it's very hard to imagine an existence without time. But God exists without time, and when we are with God, there will be no time. Praise the Lord. Now I want to go back to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. And Isaiah chapter 60 is an amazing chapter. As we get towards the end of it, you're going to notice something. You're going to notice that it sounds remarkably like the book of Revelation, in so much that you would probably have, if you showed this chapter to people and then you showed them Revelation and they didn't know anything about the Bible, they would probably assume that the same person wrote both. But you know what? Isaiah and Revelation do have the same author. God used men to do it, different men to do it, but he inspired it. So therefore, ultimately, the author is the same. That's why you can read in Isaiah and find places that mesh so perfectly with the book of Revelation. And it's amazing the way that happens. But we're going to be looking at that. And Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 tells us, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You know, a lot of people read this chapter and they think it's talking about the Israelites, the Jewish people, but actually this is talking about Jesus Christ and his people. Who is our light? Who is the light? The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. He's the light that shines in our hearts. And he is going to be that light in heaven where there never comes a night. Amen. Jesus Christ is the light. And you know, in this world there is great darkness today, and it's growing darker all the time, but we have that light of the Lord Jesus. It shines in our hearts. Just a little sample, just a little preview of that everlasting light when we live in heaven and abide there and we have that everlasting day. Praise the Lord. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Has that been happening? Have the Gentiles come to that light? Well, yes. You know, we're not Jewish people, and it's a wonderful thing that we as Gentiles can come to that light. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know that now that we've been converted, we are the New Testament Israel of God. But there was a time when we would have been considered Gentiles. But we came to that light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And that's so true. God's Christian people, we all flow together. We were taken from that sea of humanity, the abundance of the sea, and converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's not talking about a physical sea here on the earth. It's talking about that sea of humanity from which we were taken. And what did Jesus tell his disciples? I will make you fishers of men. You see how that all ties together? And something we need to keep in mind here in Isaiah chapter 60 is that a lot of this is metaphor. A lot of this is word pictures. And we see a lot of that in the book of Revelation too. Some of these things aren't to be taken literally, but they symbolize and signify certain things. Verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And what this is referring to is basically all of the good things and all of the people coming to the Lord Jesus, flowing together. And he's comparing this to great wealth, but it's actually treasures in heaven. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And who is the Holy One of Israel? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. And aren't you so glad that the Lord has had mercy on all of us? Praise the Lord. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut, day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. And that's so true. All the people, all the nations who will not serve the Lord Jesus, they will perish. They will be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And what is that city of the Lord is talking about? The Zion of the Holy One of Israel? It's talking about a new Jerusalem. The Jerusalem which is above, which is the mother of us all, which is free. That's what he's referring to here, the city of the Lord. It's not found here on earth. You know, people might go over to the Israeli state today and they might go to Jerusalem and think this is the holy city. It's not. Not anymore. The holy city is in heaven. And we're going to see that with perfect clarity when we go back to the Revelation in just a few moments. Verse 15, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And of course, we know that has to be metaphor, because otherwise, how could you physically suck the breast of kings? That would be impossible. But he's using word pictures here, metaphors, and we know that this is talking about the good things that we have when we serve God. We suck the milk, and, you know, when we get into the Word, and that Word is food and so forth, and, you know, when you first start out, it's as if it's milk, and then we get into the meat. We go from the meat to the milk as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. As we know Him better and better, then we get into the meat. But Jesus is our Redeemer. And it's speaking of our Redeemer there in verse 16, the Mighty One of Jacob. For bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. And you know, Jesus, He takes what we had and He gives us something far better. And you know, you look at that verse, that's really something. It's the opposite of the way things work in this world. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. In verse 18, this is where it really starts to get good, because it ties in so well with the book of Revelation, it's almost stunning. Verse 18, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. You know, when you praise the Lord, you can enter the gates of heaven now. Praise the Lord. That's how we do it. We might be here on this earth physically, but our hearts can be in heaven. And when we praise the Lord, when we worship Him, we enter those gates of praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. See, that has to be talking about heaven, because there's no everlasting light here on earth. And when we read the book of Revelation, we're going to see that that is confirmed. And that city where the Lamb is the light. No sun, no moon, no night. But we get our light from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And that too ties in with the book of Revelation. Remember how it says God will wipe away all our tears? The days of thy mourning shall be ended, it tells us. Thy people also shall be all righteousness. And that too fits in well with the book of Revelation. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. And the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Praise the Lord. So bearing in mind what we just read in Isaiah chapter 60, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. And it is amazing the way the 60th chapter of Isaiah ties into this. Revelation 21, and I'm sure this is a portion of Scripture we're all familiar with by now, but I never get tired of hearing it. Revelation 21, verse 1 tells us, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." You know, a time is going to come when this earth will be no more. This earth is waxing old like a garment, and someday it's going to be gone. But that's all right, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be far, far better than what we have now. Praise the Lord. And there's going to be no more sea. That sea which divides us from the loved ones who have gone on, who are over there with Jesus now. The scriptures tell us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So they are present with the Lord now, all who have gone on. There's that separation now, that sea standing between us, that sea that divides this earth from the new heaven and the new earth. But there's a time coming when there will be no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise the Lord. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know why there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain? You know why there will be no more of those things? Because there will be no more sin. Praise the Lord. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Remember how Jesus said he was the great I Am? Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the great I Am, and he made a lot of I Am statements in the Bible, and this is another one. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, he's not bound by time. He was there at the beginning, and he will be there when time expires, and in eternity there will be no more time. But he tells us that we may drink of the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know, we are going to have to go through some hard things here on this earth. The Bible tells us that. But if we overcome, this is what we have waiting for us. That new Jerusalem. That place where the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end dwells. The place where that Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. And he gives us that water of life freely. And that's that same water that Jesus was talking about when he was talking to that Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. That same water comes from the Lord Jesus. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's a verse we definitely need to take note of, because it's a list of people who aren't going to be there. And number one on that list is the fearful, those who cower in fear. Now, there are two kinds of fear. There's a fear that's a respect of God, and that's a good kind of fear to have. But that other kind of fear where you're just terrified of everything, that's not the kind of fear we should have. And those who are fearful in that way, well, it tells us that they will not be at that new Jerusalem. They won't be a part of it. But the fearful and unbelieving, and there are a lot of unbelieving people out there today. And, you know, sometimes unbelieving people are even religious. I remember years and years and years ago, I used to talk to a girl sometimes, and she was a Catholic, but she also said she was an agnostic. So there are a lot of Catholics out there who are probably agnostic or atheist. They go after the traditions. You know, they consider it kind of a cultural identifier, being Catholic, but they don't really believe in God. And it's kind of interesting because over in the Israeli state, according to some reports I've seen, they estimate that as much as 50% of all the Jews in the Israeli state are atheists. You know, it's bad enough that they reject the Lord Jesus, but they don't believe in God at all, a lot of those people. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, hell is real. There is a place that burneth with fire and brimstone, and we see that here. And Jesus spoke of it often. You know, Jesus spoke about hell more often than anybody else in the scriptures. In fact, he kind of defined it for us. If he hadn't spoken so much about it, we wouldn't know nearly as much as we know about hell. He spoke about it often. But yes, hell is real, and the scriptures are telling us that right here, and we do not want to go there. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. Remember that mountain we were reading about in Isaiah? That's where it is. To a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. Remember that city we were reading about in Isaiah? Well, that's where it is. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and her light. Having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. You know, this is really amazing. We try to imagine it with our minds, but it's when we finally see it, it's going to be nothing like we imagine. But we see here that it's perfectly measured. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. You notice, you see a lot of 12s there, and then 144, which is 12 times 12. And if you read Revelation chapter 7, it talks about the 144,000, which is 12,000 times 12,000. So we see a lot of 12s in the book of Revelation. And of course, we know that in Revelation chapter 7, that's metaphor. It's not literally 144,000, and we might look at that one of these days. It's kind of a fascinating thing to study. But we see a lot of 12s. And the building of the wall of it was as of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, that's kind of a hard one, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. You know, it's going to be beautiful there. And like I said earlier, we try to imagine how it's going to be, and we'll probably picture certain things in our mind as we read this, but when we finally see it, it's going to be so much more beautiful than we ever imagined. Praise the Lord. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, when we get there, there's not going to be a sun, there's not going to be a moon, they won't be necessary, because the light comes from the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be our source of light. And you know, it's kind of interesting, if you read the book of Genesis, light was created before the sun and the moon. And there won't be a sun and a moon, and this new earth, this new Jerusalem, we won't need it. because we will get our light directly from God. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You know, we're reading this, and it's just like what we read in Isaiah chapter 60. It's incredible. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise the Lord. You know, people might wonder, what's heaven going to be like? And we do have some descriptions of it. We do know a little. But, you know, it's far beyond our comprehension. One thing we do know is that there will be no sin there. So anything we have in this world that is a product of sin, we're not going to need that in the New Jerusalem. We won't need police officers. We won't need firemen. We won't need lawyers. We won't need doctors. Praise the Lord. There's so many things we won't need. So you kind of start imagining all the things that won't be there, and then you can kind of sort of start to imagine a little bit what heaven will be like. There won't be any sin there. Praise the Lord. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We're going to continue on in chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know why there will be no more curse? Because there will be no more sin. And when there's no sin, there's no curse. Praise the Lord. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Isn't that interesting? You know, the book of Revelation talks about the mark of the beast, Satan's mark that he's going to put on people in their right hand and their foreheads. But the people of God are also going to be marked. They're going to be marked with the name of God. It's just kind of interesting because it seems like whatever God does, Satan has to have his counterfeit. So he will have that mark of the beast in their right hands and in their foreheads, but the people of God, the Christian people, will have the name of God in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No more night. No need of a candle. No need of a sun. No need of a moon. Always light. Always light from our Lord Jesus. Forever and ever. Praise the Lord. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. You know, we are to worship none other than God. And, you know, the Catholics, they've got a problem because they like to worship Mary, and we are supposed to worship God only. But we can't worship angels, and of course we know that the Catholics, they'll do that too. They'll pray to the angels. We don't pray to angels. We pray to God. We pray to the Lord Jesus. And we are to worship only him. You know, I can't help but wonder which prophet this was. You know, was it Isaiah? Was it Jeremiah? Was it Ezekiel? Was it Daniel? It doesn't say, but it's kind of fun to think about. As one of the prophets. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. However we are, when that moment comes, when time shall be no more, when time is ended, that is how we are going to be for all eternity. If we are unjust, we'll be unjust forever. But if we are righteous, we will be righteous forever. If we are holy, we will be holy forever. He that is holy, let him be holy still. No more time. Time will be no more. So we need to make sure that we are righteous. Because we don't want to be thrown into that eternal fire. We don't want that. We want to be in the new Jerusalem, where the Lamb is the light.
Amen.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says it again. We know that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And you know, a lot of people love and make lies, but they're not going to be a part of the New Jerusalem. I, Jesus... See, right here it tells us who that Alpha and Omega is, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. You know, we long for that day when our Savior comes. We're waiting for that. We appreciate his mercy and his long-suffering, and we know that he's waiting for that harvest to be completed, but yet in our hearts we still long for that day when we can be with our Savior, where the Lamb is the light in that new Jerusalem. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You know, we need to make sure that we never try to change the scripture. It's been established by God, and it's just right the way it is. We can't fix it. You know, a lot of people, they'll look and they'll find things they don't like, and they'll change it. It's one of the reasons there's so many versions out there, and it's really something, because sometimes people, even within the same document, they'll use various versions of the Bible. Basically, what they're doing is they're looking, and they're looking in every Bible until they can find one that says what they want it to say. But we know that we must not change the scriptures because they are firmly established. Praise the Lord. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, what a day that will be. Praise the Lord. We are looking forward to that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have a lot to look forward to. That new Jerusalem, where there is no night, there's no sun, there's no moon. Where that Lamb is the light, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. And we're going to be there for all eternity, because it will be the everlasting day. We will never see night again. Praise the Lord. The everlasting day. Glory to God. Well, I am going to close with a prayer. And we'll sing a chorus. And maybe after I pray, if Chris would like to go get ready for her baptism. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy scriptures. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us in thy word. We thank thee that we have so much to look forward to in the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. We thank thee, O God, that thou wilt be our light, and that thou art our light even now, the light that dwelleth in our hearts. But we long for that day when we are with thee in all of eternity, when time shall be no more. We ask, O God, that these words would stay with us, that they wouldn't leave us, but we ask that they would change us for the better. We ask for thy inspiration in our day-to-day lives to seek thee continually. We ask, O God, that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts and that we would never forget that thou art our light. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know we usually sing Keep on Walking by Faith, but we're going to do a different chorus this morning. I just need to look it up and find out what number it is. Number 131, what a day that will be. In the chorus book.
What a day. Jesus, I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
In just a few moments.
Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer for Chris today. We ask, oh God, that thou wouldst be with her and help her and strengthen her as she starts this life with thee. We ask, oh God, that thou wouldst be with her every step of the way. We ask that thou wouldst inspire her and bless her and guide her and fill her with thy spirit. Let her be brimming with the Holy Ghost, oh God, we pray. Let thy spirit fill her completely. And we ask, oh God, that each and every day thou wouldst be with her and help her, that thou wouldst guide her steps. And that it will guide her paths, direct her paths, we pray, O God. We ask that thy spirit would be upon her. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of the Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I better take these heaters off before. Luckily, this is the water should be nice and warm.
Jesus, praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh,
Jesus.
I can't.
I think it would be fitting to sing one more chorus, number 172. I'm so glad that I've been buried in the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that I've been buried in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that I've been buried. Dismissed on the prayer, and we do have a lunch.
Thank you.